Blog Talk Radio.
52-yard try from the near hash mark to tie the game. 5 seconds left. Reyes the holder. Burns the snapper. It's back. Hold down. Kick is up. And it's plenty long. It's good! It's good! The Red Raiders have tied this game. They've come back from 38-7 down and sending it to overtime.
Crabtree on the jailbreak. Here he goes. The 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Forget it. Five. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
High snap, but he gets it away cleanly, although it's a wobbly kick. Morris takes it as 14. Sidestep one defender. He's got room to the 25, 30, 35, 40. Just the kicker to beat. The 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
8 seconds left. They got one timeout, so there's time to make one play to the middle of the field and call a timeout to set up a try, a field goal try. So Harrell in the shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught.
He breaks it. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Unbelievable.
Touchdown, Red Raiders. Michael Crabtree has done it. Michael Crabtree makes the catch at the 5, breaks the tackle, and scores.
There's still 1 second on the clock for Texas Tech. Unbelievable, Michael Crabtree.
Oh, my gosh, can you believe that?
What's up, everybody? Welcome into yet another edition of the Victory Bells podcast. I'm Will McKay, and as always, joined by my main man, Matt Clare, and we're going to go ahead and dive right into things tonight, Matt. I know things are getting really, really escalating with the 2016 class. Things are already starting up. Guys getting a lot of offers. And speaking of a guy that just got an offer, and that would be one that got one from Texas Tech, that would be Sachse, Texas cornerback and four-star Jared Maiden. So, Jared, thanks so much for coming on with us, man. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing well. You know... We talked about how many, or Will just mentioned how many offers have been going out. But man, I mean, it's got to be a habit for you now. It seems like you're probably above 30 offers, and you've been getting these things even from last year. So, you know, how's it been for you? Has it been pretty crazy lately?
As of lately, it's really just gotten crazy from when I first started getting offers sophomore year to now. The recruiting process is definitely a lot more intense and more confusing than it was then.
Right. And I had checked in with you guys, you know, gosh, I mean, so it seems like a long, long time ago. I checked in with both you and Devin, and I was talking with Devin about Tech, but you had told me, you know, you really hadn't heard from them. But obviously this week they reached out and they offered you. So tell us, you know, who did you talk with, and you know, was that the first time you guys had talked, or had they, you know, gotten in touch with you a little bit before then as well?
Well, mostly I just talked to Coach Haverty since Texas Tech first started recruiting me last year. He would tell me that they loved me and stuff like that, but they just hadn't offered me yet. So then, like, I want to say Tuesday, he followed me on Twitter and asked me to give him a call. So when I called, he was talking to me about how they wanted me and stuff like that, and he wanted to put me on the phone with the new D coordinator they had got, I believe. And so put me on the phone with him, and then he told me I had an offer, and hopefully I'll be able to come down sometime and really just expressed his interest to me.
Right. Okay. Cool. I guess, like you said, you're a defensive coordinator and Coach Gibbs. So I guess what he just kind of had to say to you, man, and just what are your kind of thoughts on kind of getting to interact with him a little bit?
My thoughts on him was really, really he seemed like a nice guy, really straightforward guy. He was really seemed like he's really scheme-oriented, that he really feels like a fit into the scheme of what they want to do with their corners and with their secondary in the Big Ten.
Okay. And, you know, we talked about, you know, as a guy that's getting a bunch of offers and how it's kind of all evolved, I think I read recently, and you know, forgive me if I haven't kept constant contact with all of it, but you had a top three, now you don't have a top three, and you just decided, hey, I'm just gonna kind of re-rack everything and take this all as it goes. Is that fair to say? Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
Okay. And other than talking to Coach Gibbs and talking to Coach Haverty, I know your phone most likely stays pretty busy. I think off the top of my head, it's Arizona State and Michigan. You know, what are some of these schools that have been offering lately?
Kind of the Alabama offered not too long ago, and then the Michigan, Arizona State, and Texas Tech offers are really just kind of the newer ones. But also with the way coaches have been moving around, kind of been paying attention to that a little bit. To really figure out, you know, how my recruiting will adjust with that happening.
Okay. I guess, like you said, man, you know, with you kind of sitting back and readjusting and kind of taking a bigger look at things, I guess, for you from here on out, I guess, you know, have you started planning any visits for the spring or anything like that yet?
As of right now, I have, really out-of-state visits. I only have two set up right now. One for Oregon, April 3rd or April 13th, I believe, and then one for Alabama in April also. As in-state goes, TCU this weekend, and then that's only in-states we really have planned. Probably figure out more about that as spring football comes around for college.
Right.
Okay. And speaking of the recruiting process, you know, you have an older brother that went through this, and he's at Rice, if I remember correctly. You know, now you've gotten all this, all the offers, all the attention, taking trips to Oregon, Alabama. I mean, that's got to be wild. But, you know, what advice has he given you, and how has he helped you kind of prepare for all this?
Really, he just really just told me to take all of it in stride. Not really to let the thoughts of others, whether it be at my school or in my family, affect my decision and what I want to do. And also to really get to know the coaches. Don't just go to college just because of what they promise you. You really have to know them and know more about their background.
Cool. And speaking of traveling, I wanted to get this in before I forget. I know you did done Team USA, and then recently I think, I don't know exactly where that was, but I think it was called Core 6 Athletics. I mean, you don't have to explain the whole thing, but maybe tell us a little bit more about both of those.
Team USA was something I've been a part of since about, I was 14. Yeah, because I have probably since ninth grade summer, I was about 14. Mm-hmm. I think I had a birthday during the week of Team USA. And down there, the first one was in Dartmouth, Massachusetts. And I was like Robert Washington, who's a great running back, has a lot of offers. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Haskins, he was a quarterback on my team. You know, now he's big time with a lot of offers. And so yeah, I've been doing it ever since. I've loved it. I think I've gotten MVP twice at the three I've been a part of. That is really just a great opportunity, especially to pay for your country and things like that. For 6, I got involved in last summer. I had met a man named Lars and Paul. Paul would be the owner of Core 6. They asked me if I wanted to play for their 7-on-7 team in Louisiana. It was called Louisiana Core 6. So I agreed to it and then went down there and met some of the Louisiana guys that was on my team. I met Derek Geis, who's a running back going to LSU, played on my team. Chad Clay, DB. Met a lot of good people. Tevin Feaster. So we went out there to the 7-on-7 Nationals and at IMG Academy. Didn't really do as good as I thought we would with all the talent we had. But, you know, it was a great experience to meet some of the other D1 prospects in my grade and also some of the ones that's going into their freshman year in college. And then I've kind of just been connected with them ever since. Recently went to one of their camps, did good up there. And then think not next weekend I go to Vegas for another 7-on-7 Nationals with them. So it was just a good opportunity.
Sounds like a lot of fun, man, but definitely getting better with every time if you're going up against all those different guys. So, yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. I was really interested in that, and it sounds like a pretty great opportunity for you. You get to travel around, too, so it's another bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all I had, man. I just wanted to invite you on here because I know you're a busy guy these days, and definitely sounds like it's getting even busier for you with all these new offers you know, your travel team and getting around to Oregon, Alabama, and even some of your other visits. But that's all I had, Will. If you have anything, you know, go for it. But I just want to say thanks again, Jared. And, you know, we'll be in touch, and I'm sure you'll be continuing to pile up these offers, man.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, and I don't have anything else either. Just like Matt said, no, you're extremely busy, man, have a lot going on. But thanks again for spending a couple minutes with us, man, and good luck with everything the rest of the spring, man.
All right, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thanks, Jared.
All right, no problem.
Once again, that was Rivals 100 sacks, or I guess Rivals 150. He's 133 in the overall rankings. But four-star cornerback Jared Maiden, and there is a big-time guy with a lot of stuff going on, Matt. You can tell that I think very smartly for a guy at this point in his recruitment, you know, he had a top three, but is getting a ton more going on. And he kind of decided to reset the deck and just kind of start things over. And I think, you know, that's about as wise a thing as you can do as for a kid his age.
Yeah, I mean, anybody listening to this and anybody who follows recruiting pretty closely knows that, you know, there's a handful of guys who pretty much have an offer from most every college, you know, on the – you know, in the United States, and he's going to be one of those kids. And, you know, the reason I mentioned that we got out of touch is just every time I'd follow up with him, he's like, hadn't heard from Tech yet. And, of course, you know, when Haverty's there up at Sachse and he's saying hi to Devin Duvernay, who's a talented wide receiver that's visited Tech before. And, you know, they have a talented team, so he's checking in. It just really never escalated anything from there. And then with, you know, the coaching turnover and some of those things, I mean, there just wasn't a rush to offer. But, you know, it's good to hear that he talked to Gibbs, and really everything that we're hearing about Gibbs' scheme allows the cornerbacks and the secondary to be more aggressive and play within a scheme, you know. But like I said, you know, end of the day, realistically, is Jared Maiden going to become a Red Raider? Most likely not, but, you know, wanted to get him on here and you know, learn more about how these coaches are offering or what they're saying to some of these cats, because you just really never know. But that's
right.
A kid who's going to continue to pile up offers, and, you know, we'll just kind of have to see where it goes from there. I mean, I would say that if he likes the coaches have to say, you should at least be able to get him here on campus maybe sometime in the summer just to show him what it's all about and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, for sure, and I think at this point that's kind of what's going on with all these kids. As you and I both know that, you know, February, March, April really is kind of the period in the, I guess what you would kind of say is in the 1 year recruiting window to kind of cap things off. It's kind of the period where you're really just kind of feeling things out with these kids, and obviously they're going to have built a relationship with, you know, some of their top targets already, and they've already made initial contact and are talking to other kids. But at the same time, I know you and I were laughing talking about this today. You know, it seems like every other day we talk to a kid, and we always forget, even coming back around to this part of the year, that A lot of these kids, it's pretty new. And on top of that, they really don't know what they want to do. And everything's just brand new. You know, they don't know the coaches real well. They're just kind of getting a feel for things. So everything is, I don't know, it's very much just kind of a meet and greet right now for everybody across college football, you know.
No, I agree. And you know, you're certainly you're talking to a kid who's heavily recruited, but I think what you say rings true even for the kid that just got his first offer because, you know, I don't think that the Tech coaches do it, but even if you look at, you know, some of the not so good parts of this business or the recruiting game, there's also, hey, come visit and we'll offer, you know, and you know, for some kids, you know, having the go across the state or even go across state lines just to try and get that offer, you know, you can debate whether that's fair or not, or you can debate kind of what's real interest and what's not. But, you know, from doing this for a little while now, and certainly yourself doing this for a while now, I think this time of year there is also a lot of misinformation too. But most importantly for Texas Tech, you know, you're going to really start to see, I think it's February 28th, and March 7th are going to be the dates to look at. And you're going to start to see, you know, what kids are serious or building good relationships with the coaches because they're going to be, you know, paying their way to get out to Lubbock. They're going to be, you know, driving from the Houstons. They're going to be driving from Dallas. They're going to be doing all these things to get out there, watch spring practice, and, you know, come and see the program up close. So, you know, definitely into the beginning of next week, we'll have a lot of those listed out, and there should be a good amount of kids getting out here to spend the weekend in Lubbock and see the program.
Right, and you know, the funny thing right now for you and I and for Drew, as far as, you know, trying to talk to kids and call kids, it's almost, you know, to quote my boy Ricky Bobby, I don't know what to do with my hands, because there's kind of times you're like, you know, there are like, you know, legitimately, you know, 85, 100 kids that you're just kind of throwing darts at the board to kind of figure out, you know, where are they at with this kid, and this kid in the process. And just kind of going on what you said as far as the visits, I think that's really kind of the point where you can kind of start pinpointing kids that really are interested in Tech and have a legitimate interest, and it's kind of reciprocated from Tech, and that's kind of where you can kind of see the early makings of kind of the advancement of the recruiting process for some of these kids is whenever they, like you said, if kids are going to pay their way to come out to Lubbock, I think it says, you know, a lot about their interest in Tech. And I know you and I have been working on a list. There's a bunch of kids coming out here in February, and I've talked to several kids, and you've talked to several kids that are making plans for early March, late March, and that's really when things will really, really kind of start to clear up.
You know, and I wanted to bring up, you know, and not, it's, I wouldn't say it's non-Tech because everything's kind of related in some degree, but I think if you look across the state too, one trend that I'm, you know, really noticing and something that I think people will start to realize a lot more, you know, SMU and Houston aren't really schools that Tech traditionally battles for recruits with, if you will, maybe towards the end of the process when they're trying to, you know, pluck a kid in season pass. But I think both those schools made strong hires, and not from a, you know, they're going to win standpoint, but these are coaches that have been around for a while, and they know how the operations side works. They know things that have worked before. But really what they're selling right now is, hey, why leave when you can stay home and we can do this? And I know it might just be an unofficial visit and there might not be much to it, but, you know, you're starting to see more and more kids, more and more, like, high-level kids taking that trip over to Dallas to see SMU. And the same thing here in Houston. I mean, you're seeing a lot of, you know, big time guys stopping over at Houston. Now, you know, will they get them all? No. That's common sense. But my point there is between SMU, Houston, and even Tulsa with a guy like Phil Montgomery, who has recruited Texas for a long time, you know, those guys were in recruiting rooms just last year. Those guys have been responsible for recruiting Texas. And they are also realistic in their own expectations, too. Sure, they're going to invite those high-rated kids. But my overall point is they're going to dig up some of that gold that you know, maybe you and I hadn't identified, or even the Texas Tech coaches haven't identified from maybe a lower-level, you know, kid standpoint. Maybe the kid that's not rated four stars, or the kid that might not even have a rating yet. So I've been keeping a close eye on who they offer because I want to know who those kids are too. I mean, it's, you know, anybody who says that they can know every kid or they can cover every, you know, thing, they're just lying through their teeth. So,
yeah,
you know, heck, I, you know, if I see something like that, you know, I check them out right away because, you know, I want to know who they are. You never know who the next Jonathan Giles or the next Avante Hinton is down here because neither of us and really not a whole lot of people knew who they were before that. So, I mean, I just think that's another interesting dynamic as we follow all these new names throughout the state as, you know, you move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you have, you've talked to a bunch of kids and I, excuse me, I've talked to a bunch of kids and I know you have too, that have all said, you know, they're going out to SMU or they're going out to Houston for a junior day and they're kids that, a lot of kids that Tech has already offered or Tech is on the verge of offering, and that's not something that has happened in, you know, ever. Well, I mean, like you said, you know, that's not something that ever happens, but there are just a ton of kids that are like, yeah, I'm going to go check out SMU, you know, I'll see what they got going on. And just kind of to further your point about, you know, them finding kids that nobody else can find, I think it helps whenever, you know, you're located in the heart of Dallas and you can make a 25-minute drive on a Tuesday afternoon and go check out a practice. And drive home 25 minutes and you're at home. You know, you have such a built-in advantage when it comes to discovering talent that way as opposed to other coaching staffs outside of the DFW Metroplex or, you know, the greater Houston area. And I think that's such a big advantage that, to be honest, I just don't know how the coaching staffs that weren't there, I mean, the coaching staffs that were at SMU under Coach Jones and then the coaching staff at Houston under Tony Levine, I don't know how, you know, they didn't start doing it sooner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's certainly an advantage, but, you know, maybe it all kind of comes down towards the end. And, you know, these days it's really all about kind of who you know as well and doing that networking.
Right.
I mean, every kid has a huddle and every kid, you know, has, you know, social media to some extent. So I think it's really about the coaches saying, this is what I'm looking for. And when I do get that chance in mid-April, late April, I'm just going to hit as many schools as I can, you know, for as many days as I can. And then, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've always been in sales and recruiting. So, you know, you kind of organize to win and you organize to have success. And so if they already know where they're going and they don't just go to the Allens and the Skylines of the world, you know, they're going to find these kids. So, you know, yes, it's an advantage, but yeah, I mean, I more so look at, you know, hey, you know, this is a big difference from coaches previously that just weren't doing that. You know, kids, they may have had great evaluations and all of that, but they weren't pushing. And, you know, maybe some of that newness will wear off. Who knows? I just don't expect that because I've been really impressed so far with what SMU's been able to do, you know, just in closing their class. But, you know, I haven't even gotten started to follow Houston as closely. But I just wanted to bring that up because, I mean, it's like it's constant. I mean, it's boom, 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 boom. And, you know, we'll just see. Enough about that, though. I just wanted to bring that up as a factor because, you know, there are kids that are choosing those options.
No, and it's I agree with you. It's worth noting because it hasn't ever happened before as far as the truly talented kids as far as, you know, even four-star kids going out to junior days at SMU in Houston, which is happening right now. But yeah, I mean, definitely was something I think was worth bringing up and, going to have to see what those guys do in Houston and Dallas respectively over, you know, the next 6-8 months in this recruiting cycle. And, speaking of Dallas, you know, Texas Tech, those guys, they got to pick up a commitment this week from Dallas Skyline. That'd be running back, De'Leon Ward. And, you know, we're going to have Tristan Wallace on here in about, 4 or 5 minutes, Matt, but to kind of talk about that and where things are with him, but you know, I know he and Ward are buddies, and as soon as Ward got offered, it was kind of something that, you know, you and I just kind of felt like he was pretty close to pulling the trigger, and he went and did it last week, or I guess earlier this week.
I mean, it's you know, you and I always have our own private conversations, and I have to say, you called it, man. You know, I thought you would be right, but I don't think either of us expected it on a Tuesday morning. But hey. Commits going up on a Tuesday, but no, it happened very quickly. I mean, and I remember I texted you guys because the offer came out on Thursday and I texted with De'Leon and I said, let's talk tomorrow afternoon. And one of the like very first things he said was, "Yeah, I'm going there next weekend, and if I like how it goes, I think I'm going to commit." And I mean, like, you know, we do a lot of these conversations, and kids just never say stuff like that, you know. And and so I was like, "Wait, what'd you say?" And so so we started talking, and the funny thing about this though is it's so early, and he'll be at TCU this weekend, and if he's as talented as we think he is from just watching his tape and looking at his production, you know, this is, I mean, I know fans listening to this don't need me to say this, but it's far from over. But yeah, he said he just feels really strongly about his decision and wanted to get it out of the way. And he said that he just really liked the coaching staff. And so I feel that if the visit goes well and they just keep that relationship in place, I mean, Jinx has shown that he can keep a hold of his guys. And I think that, like I said before, if the visit goes well, he's got, you know, we're going to talk to Tristan about how well they know one another, but we're also going to talk to, you know, DeLeon Moore. And you've got, of course, the Derek Dixon factory, called him a big brother. But then he also said he knows J.F. Thomas and he knows Jameel Johnson. And he said he's also pretty close with Coach Jones. So he called it family. So, I mean, maybe he was just ready to do it and didn't want to do the whole recruiting deal.
Yeah, and like you said, we'll kind of see what happens. There's obviously 11 months left in this thing. But it just really seems like, kind of like you said, it seems like he was really – it was something that was on his mind, you know, really as soon as he got offered. And there's not a lot of kids, no matter, you know, how much they want to or don't want to, that already kind of have an idea of, you know, as soon as they get offered, yep, this is where I want to go. I think this is where I want to go. So I think that says a lot about what he thinks about the Tech coaching staff and where things are at, you know, with them. And like you said, with all his ties to the DFW area and to everybody from DFW that's here in Lubbock. Excuse me again. Just a really talented running back that I've watched quite a bit of film on. Obviously, I haven't seen him in person, but he reminds me of DeAndre Washington. I'm just, you know, not going to stop anything about that, not going to hold anything back on that. Just going to be honest, that's who he reminds me of. He cuts exactly like him, runs exactly like him, is real bouncy with his cuts, if that makes sense, has good vision, and really is good at extending the play. And you know, you can disagree with me, but that's just what I see. That's what Jed jumped off the tape, you know, from the first 25 seconds of watching him play.
Nah, hey, I'm nobody to disagree with you, man. You're my X's and O's guy, and you watch a lot more tape than me. I'm not going to ever disagree with you, but what I go off of is really what Ward said, and what stood out to me was that when he got on the phone with Cliff Kingsbury, he said that, you know, really, coach told him it was a no-brainer because he's so familiar with what they do at Skyline from recruiting there the past few years, and he's, you know, had his eye on DeLeon, and they've been following him as a player. And he said, I feel like you'd be able to come in, learn the playbook, and fight, you know, for playing time if that's what you want to do. Because if you watch this film and you look at maybe what Texas Tech is trying to do at quarterback, when we talk to, especially when we look at Mahomes, and then our next guest, Tristan Wallace, who's probably going to be more likely the guy to play with the DeLeon eventually, if all of that pans out, is the zone read and then the slip screens and, you know, all those things that he was able to do. I mean, you're not talking about a guy with Dolphine or Stockton type of breakaway speed, but like you said, more of a Washington where he makes those sharp cuts and just gets all of those extra yards. And, you know, he's just already very well put together. So I'll be very interested to kind of see where things go with him and how he develops even more as a senior and into college. I think it's just a really good land. You look across right now, and you've got a player from DeSoto, you've got a player from Dallas Skyline, and you've got a player from Katy. I mean, and you've got three commitments. You look across the conference, I mean, that's a really good start right now. We're getting towards the end of February. We're about to hit camp season, and they haven't even hosted their first junior day. So, you know, I think you're definitely cooking with grease right now.
Well, I think you're off to a better start than, you know, you were last year. You know, you've already got, like you said, you've got three high-profile kids already committed to the class, and I think you really have to like where things are with them. And speak of the devil, we actually just got one of them on with us, and that would be DeSoto, Texas quarterback, and you know, Texas Tech commit Tristan Wallace. So I guess first off, Tristan, kind of how things going with you now, man? Tristan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, cool. How things going?
Things are going great for me right now, sir.
Cool. You know, we just hadn't got a chance to talk to you in a while. Just wanted to get a chance to, you know, just kind of catch up with you and everything with you since you committed to Texas Tech. So yeah, just kind of how have things been going with you to the Tech? Yeah.
Things have been going well since I committed to Tech.
I mean, it's been, you know, it's been now, when we first talked to you, it just happened, now it's been a few months. I mean, is it, you know, I guess has it set in and you know, you're talking to those guys? I mean, you kind of seeing a clearer picture there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, we were actually just talking about, before you joined us, we were talking about De'Leon Ward, who had committed this week. And he mentioned, he mentioned that you guys are friends and that you've actually played AAU basketball before. So tell us about De'Leon.
Oh, yeah, I mean, me and De'Leon go way back to when we were child. I mean, always get up, play with each other, play against each other when it comes to football and basketball. So, I've been knowing him. I have a great relationship with him.
Okay.
Right.
You
go ahead, Matt.
What? I just one more thing. He was saying that y'all were ended up laughing because for some reason he didn't know that you were already committed to Tech and was just, I guess he was just caught up in all everybody congratulating him. Did it take you a while to realize that he was confused?
I don't know if he was confused or not. I thought he already knew I was committed to Tech because I mean I had it in my Twitter bio, I had it in my Instagram bio, so I assumed everybody knew. Plus it was just surprising when I did it, so I knew kind of a lot of people out there, so a lot of people were talking about it. So.
All right.
Cool. I guess, you know, man, since we talked to you, I know you talked to Coach Kingsbury and Coach Morris, all those guys, and, you know, you said, you know, you told those guys that, you know, you want to be a quarterback. So I guess just kind of talk about, you know, your decision that you definitely want to be a quarterback and, you know, just what they kind of thought about it and just kind of, you know, that moving forward.
I just felt the need that I just felt like playing quarterback at 16 for me. At first when I committed to athlete, I didn't know what I wanted to do initially, but I mean, like playing quarterback is what I want to do. So I just made my mind up on it.
Right. And I know when we had first talked, the coaches just loved you as a player and they thought you could do really anything. So I'd imagine when you talk to them, they're like, okay, sure, you know, whatever you want to do. I mean, give me an idea of what y'all talked about. And, you know, now that it's quarterback, you know, specific, you know, are you guys talking about fit? Are you guys kind of going over what they do? I mean, what all do you guys talk about when you connect?
We talk about the offense, talk about recruiting. I mean, we really talk about recruiting. That's the main thing. Cause, I mean, with the 2016 class, we're just trying to make fun of, you know, the top three recruiting classes, you know, really get something going. So we're really, really working. Me, Coach Sperry, and Coach Morris as well. And
okay. I guess just going off that, man, yeah, just kind of, like you said, you know, you want to help bring in a big class for Tech. So I guess just kind of how are things going with you, you know, trying to recruit other guys and just talking to guys about Tech and just kind of what are you saying to guys?
It's going great. I know a lot of guys and a lot of guys that take a recruit in my class. I already somehow know from probably coming up playing, you know, right here in Texas or in the South anywhere, you know, just me at my competitive level. So.
Well, speaking of recruiting, I mean, you're going to get a chance to, you know, visit Lubbock and Texas Tech for the first time, you know, here in another week. And I know that you're coming along with a teammate of yours, AJ, who recently got an offer. So, I mean, what are you looking forward to most about that trip, especially knowing that, you know, you hadn't been there before, but you're already committed and you have a great relationship with the coaches? I mean, what are you looking forward to doing on that particular trip next weekend?
Just view the campus, you know, view the school. I mean, I already know what I want to major in. So, I mean, it's just
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about the football part. That's going to be the reason I did. It was because of the coaches. It wasn't because of the facilities. I know if I had a great relationship with the coaches, the facilities wouldn't matter. So.
Sure. What are you going to major in?
I'm going to graduate and be a grad assistant in college football as well. And probably get
All right. Now, are you on a – go ahead, Will. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, I guess – what makes you kind of want to, you know, be a grad assistant and maybe coach college football one day?
Because, I mean, it's just my dream. I mean, just like you, and to recruit it, so I mean, this is where I want to be. I have a passion for it, so that's what I'm going for.
Cool.
Okay. And
Will,
you know, we had a I mean, it's been so long, and I'm sure you're going to do the whole camp series deal again, but we met a long time ago at the Rivals camp last year, and you were already a big old boy, 6'3", 220 pounds, you know. But then fast forward to the season, you had the ankle injury, you know, which, you know, was a setback. But tell us about kind of coming back from that, because it was a pretty interesting story to me how you missed 8 or 9 games, but then you got to come back and help your team win a few games towards the end of the season in the playoffs.
Yes. I mean, look at it as an injury, but I mean, it was, or a setback. I mean, it really wasn't for me. That was for my team. I mean, it made them better throughout the season, you know, to get that. I did that without them. So that's how I really approached it.
Right.
Okay.
Cool. I guess just, you know, going into your senior year, I guess just kind of how things have been going so far this spring for you, man, and just kind of how are you feeling about things, you know, leading into the summer and in the fall?
I'm gonna take some trips somewhere, like some visit. I don't know where yet, but I mean, I'm gonna be busy recruiting, just work with my position coaches, just working on my mechanics and things like that.
Okay, and that's what I was going to ask about, you know, when we talk about you playing the quarterback position. Obviously, you're very athletic, and, you know, you ran for tons of yards, and you scored in a variety of ways. But when you talk about working on your mechanics, you know, what do you feel you need to work on to become a more, I guess, complete passer or improve on your passing as well?
I think a lot of it has to do with my consistency. I mean, as long as I just be consistent and just manage the game and just do everything I need to do and just throw it. That's what I just do. Even in the off season, that's where it starts. So I'm just working right now.
Okay. And then my last question, I'll butt in if I think of anything else. But you mentioned recruiting. We already talked. You said you're going to take a visit up to Iowa State. They had offered you a while back. So you're going to do that sometime this spring or this summer. But even recently, the offers keep pouring in, and today you got an offer from Texas. Tell me about recruiting. I mean, is your phone still ringing off the hook? You still getting tons of letters? I mean, how's that all playing out for you?
I'm just taking it day by day. I mean, my phone, I mean, it rings a lot to you, but I just manage it and just take it one day at a time, really.
Okay. Well, and just like you're probably, like you said earlier, you're telling kids that you guys want to build a big class at Texas Tech. I'm sure eventually as the months go on, as you keep getting these other offers, there's going to be kids telling you the same thing about other programs, or, you know, has that already happened, you know, so far?
Well, I mean, right now I'm just focused on right now. Well, I mean, I'm committed, so I mean, that's what I'm focused on. I'm not really looking right now. I mean, offers don't come, you know, how it is, but if I'm committed, I'm committed.
Okay. Well, that's, like I said, that's all I had. Will, what do you got, man?
No, I think you covered it all. You know, that's all I had. But Tristan, man, you know, we really appreciate you coming on. No, you're super busy, man, with everything going on this spring. But hey, man, like I said, you know, thanks so much for coming on with us, spending a couple minutes, and hope you have a good visit next weekend, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we do these every week. So, you know, if we're lucky enough, we'll have you back in another month or so, and we'll run you through the gamut of questions again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thank you, Tristan.
Once again, that was Tristan Wallace, obviously Texas Tech's quarterback commit, and lots going on for him right now, I think. I think, obviously, like you said, he's committed and he's actively recruiting for Texas Tech, but at the same time, I think he's going to, you know, look at his options and he's, you know, going to still look around a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so hard to phrase the question correctly or ask the question correctly, because everybody always asks us, so I was just trying to, I don't know, just kind of lay it out there, because it is early, and this is a kid that really, even before Tech had offered, had offers from UCLA, Ohio State, I mean, a lot of big schools, and so, I mean, it's a big commitment for a variety of reasons, and, you know, the fact that he's going to play quarterback, it's growing on me, because we talked about it last week on the podcast, and, you know, we watched Cardale Patterson just carve up defenses, and, you know, Tristan isn't 6'5", 240 yet, but, I mean, he's still a junior in high school, and he's 6'3", 220, and, I mean, I've stood right next to him. I mean, he's every bit of it, and he's just all muscle, so it's a big kid, so if he can continue to work with his position coach and continue to develop as a passer, and then he can have some tutelage and some time under Kingsbury and Coach Morris, I mean, I just think there's a ton of potential there. So it'll be pretty interesting. And I think, you know, time will tell, but, you know, we'll see if every single offer is to play quarterback, because I don't know that yet. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think you've got to feel good about him saying, you know, I'm recruiting now and I'm talking to them about building a great class. I mean, we've heard a lot of those things before. But, hey, you know, it's 2016 now. And like I mentioned before he started, you're off to a really great start, and after these next junior days, you could add another 1, 2, 3 kids, and you're off to a tremendous start. So, I mean, it'll all start happening pretty quickly.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean, it always seems like, you know, you get to March, April, and everybody starts wondering where all your commits are, and then you'll get, you know, 4 or 5 in a day, and that's just kind of how things go in the spring, and then in the summer, whenever you start having satellite camps and all those kind of things go on. But I guess, you know, before we shut this thing down, Matt, you know, I know you were able to go to the Houston Recruiting Review a couple of days ago. And before we kind of close things down, I just was wondering if you kind of share your opinion on, you know, obviously the Tech coaches kind of recapping everything from the last class, was kind of their expectations, and just kind of your thoughts from what you got to hear and say, and how you guys talked about a few coaches.
Yeah, I mean, nothing, you know, I'm going to have a full report. I got to talk to a handful of coaches, and I think a few of the notable things, and I don't know if it's obvious or not, but I was able to confirm with Kingsbury. I said, hey, you know, since you took 19 and let's say, you know, give or take a few additions here, can we expect a larger than 25 or a larger class for 2016? And he said absolutely that's the plan. And he actually mentioned something I thought was interesting. He said the reason, you know, he said obviously we would have liked to take more players, but there were two things. He said last year we wish we had a few more scholarships because there were a few opportunities we couldn't take advantage of from a transfer aspect and from a, you know, a late qualifying aspect, and they just couldn't make them work, and that was because of scholarship numbers. Now this year, you know, obviously they would have liked to have more kids, but he mentioned that, you know, that played a factor, was to save a few scholarships. But he said definitely, you know, coming into this year, they're gonna try to utilize each and every scholarship that they can, because they are in the middle of, you know, it's been 2 years, and so this is a kind of crucial cycle to kind of replenish the roster, if you will. So I thought that was interesting. I talked with Coach Hayes. I talked with Coach Chev, and really, you know, I know we've watched the huddle highlights. I call it the ooh ah award, if you will, because as you're sitting in these, you're there with, like, I don't know, 200 plus people. I don't know the exact number, but as they show the different ones, you go, ooh, oh, wow, you know, and it's funny to me because we've always said this all year long, but, you know, Devontae Hinton, I mean, his highlight tape has got to be the best one I've watched all season, and that's out of hundreds. And, I mean, when he hits people, they go down. And, you know, it's crazy the fact that, you know, you're getting a player like that. He might not be the biggest guy in the world, but, man, I mean, how lucky would you be if he just started developing all of a sudden and sprouts and, just turns into a tank of a player. I mean, I think you could have something special with him. And he gets the Ooh-Ah Award because, you know, he's, as you know from watching it a few times, he murders a few people in his highlight tape. And so people like that one. But the very close runner-up was Broderick Washington because Coach Gibbs joked that, you know, Coach Hayes was like, hey, you know, you better watch out because if you get him into camp and he's not playing on that defensive line, I'm going to put him at guard, you know, and I'm going to have him on my offensive line. You watch the tape, and I guess I just hadn't watched a lot of his tape, but, man, he's a mean old son of a, you know. He just takes people down. And so, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch his transition too. But, yeah, I don't know. All around the board, the coaches, I thought, we know the guys that played together, the guys that went to Tech, there's a lot of camaraderie there. But I think, you know, Gibbs is very comfortable in his own skin. The guy was up there practically doing stand-up comedy. And I don't know. I mean, he seems pretty confident. Really, when I talked to Coach Curtis, and he coaches safeties and he specializes in DBs, you know, he said, man, y'all are going to really like this scheme because it just, you know, he says, I know you've heard this before, but this really does simplify things. I mean, this lets our defensive backs become very aggressive because they're playing in quarters and they're playing, you know, man-to-man like 85-90% of the time. And so if they can just win and they can beat those guys and do what they're supposed to do, they're going to have a lot more leeway and they're going to be able to make a lot more plays. And we have the guys to do that. So I thought that was interesting. And just, you know, the fact that Coach Gibbs said that he makes the coaching staff watch one game per day, all the defensive plays. He makes them watch one game per day, every day. And not to punish them or not to say, you know, this, that, or the other, but he made it a point to say that. But then he also grabbed Mike Smith and he said, you know, part of us watching those is that you can tell that these players never quit on these coaches. And I think that says a lot about Coach Smith and a lot about these other assistants, and I'm very excited to work with them. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Now, were there some pretty bad games and some pretty bad defense? Yes. So, you know, don't cancel out the podcast button right now. But that's just what he said, and I think there is some truth to that. So, you know, you're adding a Mitchell in the middle there, who they mentioned a few times, and you're adding a few guys. I think that from everyone, you know, that mentioned him, I think Jameel Johnson's going to have a chance to get on the field. And really on offense, you signed so many guys, but I think just watching the tapes and talking to the coaches, I think Tony Brown and J.F. Thomas are going to be two guys that are going to be hard to kind of keep off the field because, you know, it's easy to forget about Tony Brown sometimes because he doesn't talk a lot and, you know, he's the guy from California. J.F. Thomas is the obvious one. Get him on campus and he can do what he does. But an interesting point on him, he's only played football for 2 years. And the coaches at South Oak Cliff found him playing basketball in the gym. So, I mean, you know, he's got so much just raw talent and potential that's still left to realize, even after scoring 25, 26 touchdowns this year. So, I mean, I don't know. I'll stop there, but just a lot of stuff from them. And I know, you know, it's a good time of year for them to recap all that, but, you know, it's deserved because it's hard work to do this stuff and to get the recruiting class you know, kind of shut down. But it's always fun letting them kind of talk about the guys that they've gotten. And I'll share one more story. Coach, we struggle with this too. We were like, is it Akinano? Is it Akinanu? And Coach Morris was like, you know, I asked him when I first met him, and I'm putting his number in my phone, and he's saying it, and I'm like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to save his name as Madison. Well, then fast forward to – you know, another few months, and Madison's actually calling him to commit, but Coach Morris has taken a shower, and so he didn't answer. Madison calls again, Morris is in the bathroom, and then he comes out of the bathroom, and his wife's looking at him, and he's like, what's wrong? And she's like, you tell me what's wrong. And he's like, I just taking a shower, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, Madison's called you 7 times. Who's Madison? Oh, really? Well, Madison's a hell of a left tackle from Arlington Bowie. He's called me 7 times, and that's when he knew that he had committed because he called so many times. And so I just thought that was funny. But there's a lot of little stuff like that you hear at those things. So anybody listening that I don't know, forgets or doesn't get to go, you know, definitely try to get out there. I've gone to those for the past, 3 to 4 years, and It's a really great way to see what's going on, not only with the football team, but, you know, from the athletic director, and even the president of the university was there. So it's really good stuff all around.
Yeah, and I think to touch on two things that you said before we shut this bad boy down. First, you know, with J.F. Thomas, Coach Morris and Coach Cheverini both told me out here in Lubbock, they both said that he was the top receiver in the state of Texas this year on their entire board. So I think that says something about, you know, what they think of him and what he can do as far as being a receiver. I mean, you tell me that Texas Tech's going to land a top receiver in the state, and, you know, I think everybody's going to say sign me up for that no matter what year it is. And like I said, I think it'll be hard to keep him off the field. I think he'll definitely see some playing time early. I know the coaches have said they want to start him out at X, which is obviously behind Devin Lauderdale, and then maybe Dylan Cantrell, depending on what they decide to do with him. But it's going to be really interesting once fall camp rolls around and all those guys, and including Quan Schwartz, who's going to compete at Z with Reg and with Dylan. It's going to be really interesting to see how those battles kind of shake out, because between Quan and Tony and JF, I think those are three guys that all have a legitimate shot to play and maybe play early. And like you touched on, those guys haven't played a lot of football, any single one of those guys. So,
yeah,
I just think there's a inside and Texan as good a receiver class as I can remember in the time I've covered Tech football. I think that's saying something as far as how good these guys are. The other thing, obviously, like you said, Coach Gibbs, you know, those guys, they're going to run a lot of quarters defense, which for people that don't really understand what quarters defense is, it's the same thing as cover four, which basically means you kind of got four zones all along the field. And like Matt said, when you're in man coverage, it doesn't matter as much as far as that kind of stuff. But when you're in zone coverage, it kind of limits the area of the field. The guys can, you know, kind of limits your responsibilities. So I think it'll be interesting to see what some of these guys, these younger corners and younger safeties that are elite athletes, what they kind of do when you kind of take them off the leash a little bit and you just kind of let them go up and just say, hey, son, go make a play, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what they were saying. And again, the coaches are realistic. I mean, they said, look, I know the caveat is we've had seven defensive – now this is our seventh defensive coordinator. Nobody has a reason to believe, you know, this, and this. But we're all confident in what we're about to do and, you know, what – you know, Coach Gibbs is really, when you think about it, he's the head coach of the defense. I mean, he's there. He's running it. He's got the skins on the wall. So I know it's a wait-and-see type of deal, but – I mean, there was even, you know, I know that there wasn't a whole lot of hubbub made of it, but he spoke very highly of Paul Banks, and even in the highlights I saw, he's a bigger body, and he's pretty good at coming up and making the tackle, and I saw the same thing from Christian Taylor, too. So, I don't know. I mean, anytime you have a new coach, you can't just assume, okay, well, we're going to have Tevin, and we're going to have Nigel, and this, that. I mean, do not assume who's going to be where or what the depth chart will look like, because I really don't think these guys care about mixing it up. And I really do think the philosophy for Gibbs is, you know, churning people in and out and keeping people fresh. And just really, like he has said so many times in these press conferences, is, hey, in college football these days, offenses are going to score points on you. You can't cry in your playbook and wonder why you didn't get a shutout or only give up 10 points, because that's just not realistic. So, you know, he's going to kind of play it out, and you got to see if these adjustments work. But anyway, it just seemed like there's a lot of synergy there, and you know, maybe it's because it was the third or fourth recruiting roundup. But we'll, you know, we'll see moving forward, and I think they're kind of, you know, getting their stride as well as we, you know, talk to Jared and we see some of these new defensive offers going out in 2016. So we'll just see where it goes from here.
Absolutely, got the whole spring in front of us. Got spring football coming up starting next weekend, and Excited to see where everything kind of goes from here. I guess my last note, you know, good weekend last weekend, kind of totally off, kind of taking a total different direction with this, but good weekend for the baseball team last weekend. Didn't play so well on Tuesday, but I'm excited to see them play this weekend, see their bats get out there, and know those guys are on the hook to have another great year. So just wanted to say I'm excited to cover those guys again this year. You know, everybody – thanks, Tim. Coach Tadlock's going to do big things, and I agree. And he already has done some big things, but don't think that's the top of the mountain. So just wanted to add that before we close. But But anyway, once again, you guys are listening to the Victory Bells Podcast. I'm Will McKay. He's Matt Clare. Thanks again for listening, and hope you guys have a fantastic weekend.
See ya.